there was a nun that said she had visions of Jesus. And her bishop began to doubt whether she was having these visions. And so he decided to put her to the test. And he said, next time you have one, ask him what is my greatest sin. So time went by. He saw the nun. He asked her, did she have a vision of Jesus? And she said, yes, she did have a vision of Jesus. And he asked, well, did he tell you what was my greatest sin? And the nun said, Jesus, he said, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Fence of Forgiveness. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Fence of Forgiveness.
And when the first guy who had forgiven the debt found out, he went and found this other guy who wouldn't forgive the other one. And you know what it said? I wish I had time to get into it today. It said he delivered him, anybody remember? To the tormentors. Delivered him to the tormentors. Because he had an unforgiving spirit, he was delivered to the tormentors. Unforgiveness blocks the answer to your prayers. It says that if you don't forgive someone that has done something against you, then how can God forgive you? It hinders forgiveness to God. It defiles the believer. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it says unforgiveness or bitterness. By it, not only are you defiled, but then others are defiled. As we look at the scripture this morning, what is the prescription for forgiveness? Paul gives us in these words the prescription for forgiveness. Three things. You have to reveal the hurt. You have to release the hostage. And then finally, you have to remember the hookup. First of all, you got to reveal the hurt. Look what he said in verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee anything. So what is Paul doing? Paul is getting for this moment to stop and look at what did he do. Now, even though Paul is telling him to forget it, even though Paul is telling him to let it go, just for a moment, he's saying, if he hath wronged thee. So what is going to come up in Philemon's mind? Yeah, I remember what he did. Or if he owes me anything, yeah, I know what he owes me. So just at that moment, Philemon is called into account to, in his mind, think about what Onesimus did. And when we begin to deal with forgiveness, we have to stop and we have to recognize that an offense has been committed. Sometimes people are angry with somebody else and they don't even know what it's about. You got to stop and you got to say, what is it that caused this? We can dance around the issue. Yeah. I remember, anybody ever watched The Jeffersons? I remember one episode, George had offended this boxer, this guy who was a boxer. And he challenged George to a boxing match. And George was running his mouth, and so he ended up having to be in a boxing match with this guy. George's wife, Louise, didn't want to see George get hurt. So she went and paid the guy. And she said, as soon as George hits you, you'll fall to the ground. Somebody was talking to George, and they told George, look, man, this dude's going to tear you up. So just let him hit you one time and fall to the ground. So George and the guy started boxing, and they just started dancing around. The whole time, they're just dancing around, right? One guy waiting for the other one to hit him. And nobody wanted to throw the first punch. And a lot of times, when an offense has been committed, what do? We dance around. We're like George in the boxer, right? We just dance around it. You know, we don't want to confront. We don't want to deal with. We don't want to say, this is what happened. But Paul is letting us know that we have to identify. If we're going to exercise forgiveness, if the relationship is going to be reconciled, that we first and foremost have to acknowledge what was the offense, what was done. You know, some people go years and years holding unforgiveness in their heart. And if you ask them to explain, now some people can, but if you ask some people, what was it? They couldn't even be clear on what it was that caused the rift in the first place. And sometimes I think that if we really look at some things, I'm not saying all things, but if we look at some things, I think that some things we would find are relatively insignificant. Now, I'm not saying all right? I said some things. And sometimes it's just a matter of, and we've heard this before, a matter of my perception. You know, how did I hear what you said? You know, we've all heard that there are seven ways. I'm not going to get into them because I can't remember them right now. But there's seven messages that can come out of communication. What the other person says, what the other person hears, what the other person think you said. You know, so you can go on and on. There's seven miscommunications that can take place. And so sometimes it may have fallen into one of those communications and that we have to stop and say, what is the deal here? What are we upset about? What are we angry about? What are we holding a spirit of unforgiveness about? Paul says, reveal the hurt. If he hath wronged thee, or if he oweth thee anything. Second thing, we have to release the hostage. Release the hostage. Look what he said. He said, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee anything, put it on my account. And I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Paul said, releasing that you are holding Onesimus in spiritual and emotional bondage. Let him go. Releasing. You are holding the person that you haven't forgiven. You are holding them in bondage. Now, again, they're not in a physical jail anywhere. They're not bound in a prison somewhere, but they are held as a captive in your heart. What they did is you're holding them as a prisoner within your heart. And what you need to do, you need to open up the prison bars. You need to open up the gates and let them out. That's forgiveness. What forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not a feeling, even though it can lead to a change in feelings. You know, you don't wait till all of a sudden you start feeling good and then you have forgiven somebody. No, forgiveness is not a feeling. And some people don't want to work on extending forgiveness because they don't feel like it. Well, let us be reminded of what God told Cain, when Cain was angry because Abel's sacrifice had been accepted and Cain's was not. And what did God tell Cain? I'm paraphrasing now in the Glaze translation. It don't make any difference how you feel. If you do the right thing, then you'll be all right. Don't make any difference how you feel. Do the right thing. That's exactly what he told Cain. Now, you go back and read it. You got to dig that out, right? But it's in there. You got a mind for it like gold, but it's in there. Forgiveness is not forgetting, even though the thoughts of the offense will diminish over the course of time. Some people think, well, you know, I can't forgive because I'm not going to forget. There's only one person that forgets, you know, from a symbolic standpoint, and that's God. God never told us to forget. He just said to forgive. That might always be in the back of your mind what somebody did to you. that may never leave. And so you're waiting for you to forget about it, then you're going to forgive. Let me tell you something, baby. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. So we can't equate forgiveness with forgetting. Again, God calls us to step out. Forgiveness is not letting things slide by, even though you may be able to put it behind you. That's still not forgiveness. Well, you know, I just put it behind me, but yet and still, unforgiveness is in your heart. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is when the offended person, as I said, opens the cage of their soul and releases the resentment and ill will against the offender. That at this point you open up and you say, I'm releasing it. I'm letting it go. I'm free of what was eating me up inside. You've been eating up too long. You've been wearing down spiritually, internally. You've been wearing down too long. It's time to open up the cage and let it out. Now, as we talk about this whole idea of forgiveness, somebody said that there are two things that you can do. You can take a payment or you can make a payment. You can take a payment or you can make a payment. What is taking a payment? Taking a payment is withholding forgiveness. It's dwelling upon the wrong. It's being cold and aloof, giving up on the relationship by inflicting emotional pain, by gossiping, by lashing back, or seeking revenge. That's taking the payment. You're going to pay me no matter what, and I'm going to get a pound of flesh from you. We're going to take it. I'm going to get it. And until, you know, sometimes I realize, I don't know about you, but sometimes I realize that there are certain individuals that just want to get an ounce of your flesh. That's what they want. They just want to dig and get an ounce of your flesh. And sometimes when we hold unforgiveness in our spirit, that we want to get an ounce of flesh. And we are not going to be satisfied until we get that ounce of flesh. That's taking the payment. Or we can make a payment. How do we make a payment? Releasing others from the penalties they deserve. Notice what it said there, that they deserve. Release them to pay by fighting against painful memories. Don't sit around and dwell on it. Don't sit around and stew on it. Don't sit around and let it consume you and eat you up, that you got to fight against it. But see, again, we want to get our pound of flesh. And so when it comes time to get our pound of flesh, we sit back and we concoct every kind of way that we want to get it. And what is it doing? Just conjuring up more negative feelings, conjuring up more bad ideas, conjuring up more negative attitudes. We got to fight against the painful memories. And we have to speak gracious words. See, we don't want to do this, right? It's kind of quiet in here this morning. Amen, but that's okay. I don't need an amen to preach. We have to tear down the walls. We got to work at it. We got to do something. Yo, as I said, speak gracious words. You know, there was two men. They were sitting on the side of the road, and this lady was coming down the street. And one guy said to the other, man, she don't say anything. She never says anything bad about anybody. She never says a negative word about anybody. And as she was walking by, one guy stood up and he said, man, the devil sure is a wicked, mean so-and-so. And thinking that the lady was going to say something negative, she said, yeah, he sure is busy, isn't he? See, you can even find something gracious to say about the devil. Not that we should. If we can say something gracious, if that lady can say something gracious about the devil, truly, we can say something gracious about people who have wronged us. We may be hurt. We may be offended. But that don't mean we got to go run them down. That don't mean we got to go tear them down. That don't mean we got to drag their name through the mud. We can still be gracious. I love my mom, man. My mom, I miss my mom. But I love my mom. And I hardly ever heard my mother say anything negative about anybody else. I remember even when stuff was thrown out there and she could, my mother would always say, "Now they know better than that." And that's all she was, "Now they know better than that." See, this thing on forgiveness, we have to work at it. We have to realize that the walls that are there, unless we work at tearing them down, they're not going to go anywhere. Somebody said, "Time heals all wounds." That's the biggest lie you ever told. Time don't heal all wounds. Because if you're not working on it, you're just going to keep the same wound for all eternity. You got to work on it. Time might ease some of the sting. Time might take away some of the hurt. But time is not going to heal the wound. You got to work on the wound. Are you forgiven? What is forgiveness? What are some evidence that you have forgiven somebody? What are the evidence that you have forgiven somebody? First, the offender and the offense does not regularly occupy your thoughts. Then that might be an indication that you have forgiven somebody. Second, the situation is not talked about with others. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his holy name. That is, now, you know, I realize that sometimes we need to have a confidant and we need to have, you know, somebody to open up and share. I understand that. But, you know, I think when we get to 10 people, that's more than. Woo, help me, Jesus. There is no longer the desire to take revenge or see retribution come upon the offender. That might be a good indication that forgiveness has taken place in your heart. Bitterness and anger are replaced with peace and joy. That might be an indication that forgiveness has taken place. Here you go. Now you want the big test, right? You want the big one. There is a genuine concern and love for the offender. As we look at that, that is a true evidence that the forgiveness has taken place. Why should we forgive? Two reasons. Two reasons why we should forgive. First, it's commanded in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And secondly, it was demonstrated by Jesus Christ. And there were also two other malefactors led to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they were crucified. Oh, man, I wish I had time to get into crucifixion this morning. One of the most, in the history of the death penalty, crucifixion is probably one of the most vile and heinous ways for a person to be put to death. Y'all heard about this guy the other day, and I think, I don't know where it was, Ohio somewhere, where he was put to death, and now his family is suing because they said it took 20-some minutes for him to die. And there's still evidence of him being alive after they had, you know, executed him. And I said, even that doesn't compare to crucifixion. You know, crucifixion, man, sometimes people hung around for hours on the cross. And so Jesus was crucified, not only talking about what led up to the crucifixion, but then his crucifixion. And they crucified him and the malefactors, and one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What are some reasons to forgive? First of all, God said you should forgive so that you can walk in a state of forgiveness. A second reason that you should forgive is because Jesus set the example. that when he was crucified, he cried out to God to forgive the people that crucified him. So as I finish, the prescription for forgiveness, you've got to reveal the hurt. You've got to release the hostage. And then I went ghetto on you. You got to remember the hookup. And when I say hookup, what I mean is to put a person in a favorable position. The hookup. Philemon was hooked up, right? If somebody, you say to somebody, and I'm not talking about dating or stealing. You know, some people are hooking up people. They got a job and they're hooking people up at their job. No, that's not the kind of hookup I'm talking about. Some of y'all laughing. You know what I was talking about. The hookup I'm talking about is when you put a person in a favorable position. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand, and I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. Paul said, you owe me. Now, don't let me remind you that. Don't let me remind you, Philemon, I hooked you up. I hooked you up. You owe me a favor. So when he comes, if for no other reason to forgive him, now we don't went through all this, and I'm giving you all this, but if for no other reason to forgive, you owe me. And you need to forgive him because of what I did. In the notes, if you'll bear with me for a second, let's look at the notes where it says, remember the hookup. Albeit I do not say to thee, thou owest me even thy own self besides. Many commentators take this statement as a reference to Paul alluding to the fact that he had something to do with Philemon's salvation. So many people believe that Paul was directly involved with Philemon's salvation, and that the reason that Philemon was saved was because of Paul. This being the case, Paul is saying to Philemon, I hook you up, and now it's time for you to hook Onesimus up. John MacArthur summarizes the great extent of Paul's help Philemon to the minor favor he was asking him when he writes. He says, Onesimus owes Philemon a material debt. Philemon owes Paul a spiritual debt. Onesimus owes Philemon a temporal debt. Philemon owes Paul an eternal debt. Paul had shared the gospel with him and led him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is a debt Philemon could never repay. As Christians, we have been hooked up by God. God has put us in a favorable position. He has reconciled us, forgiven us, adopted us into his family, made us new creatures in Christ, redeemed us, imputed to us the righteousness of Christ, justified us, made atonement for our sin, sanctified us, and one day he will glorify us. God hooked you up. And all that he asks for the hookup, all that he asks for the way that he hooked you up, all that he asks for the hookup that he's done for you is that you be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Defense of forgiveness.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Fence of Trust. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Fence of Forgiveness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fence of Forgiveness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fence of Forgiveness. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.